hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. This is your weekly dose of all things Nintendo. My name is Gemma, and joining me again this week, I have my two good friends. I have Trev. Welcome back, Trev.
Glad to be here, as always.
And I have Kirk. Welcome back, Kirk.
Glad to be here, as always.
How many times have we seen Godzilla so far? The new movie.
I've talked about it. I've seen it twice, but I've talked about it so much that I feel like maybe 7 or 8 times. I can't get people to understand why, even if you don't like Godzilla, you got to go see this Godzilla Minus One movie. But I'm keen.
Yeah, I'm keen. I need to check it out. I'm going to do my best to check it out. And Trev, how's your week? Have you got any movies you need to convince people to see?
Week's been okay, but no, not really. I did watch, it's not as exciting as Godzilla, but the TV show Monk just came out with the movie His Last Case, and I watched that.
Oh, okay. I remember that show.
It might appeal to some of the middle-aged listeners, but...
Yeah, for sure. Well, we have a big show, and speaking of watching things, we'll start with the Game Awards that was on, was it the 7th of December, so just the other day. So we'll give a bit of a wrap-up of what happened there. We've got some new amiibo, we've got a free game trial to talk about, and lots of other things, games we're playing, etc. But we'll start off with, I guess, the highlight, which is the Game Awards, because it is the end of the year. We're all excited about, I don't know, games of the year and things like that. And we said last week that Nintendo had quite a few entries in the list. They didn't take out best, what is it, Game of the Year, I guess, is the coveted award. Is that right? I think that's the one that everyone wants. Yeah. Tears of the Kingdom was nominated, but didn't take it home, but that's okay. Trev, you caught some of the show, I think. It's a long show.
I watched probably close to 2 hours, and it just did not seem like it was even getting ready to wrap up. So I ended up switching to Thursday Night Football, which was exciting for me.
Yeah, okay. And is it a bit like, because I only caught the highlights, is it like... It sounds like the Academy Awards, because that's a very long affair. And, they're always telling the people to hurry up with their speeches. And I heard that that's what happened this time in the Game Awards. Someone was told to wrap it up in terms of the actual their speech, right? Their acceptance speech or something. Did you see that?
You know what it is, or what I think it is? There's a lot of time, but I don't think they make good use of the time. And I'll get into it a little bit when we get to a certain game, but I was turning on, they were handing out awards in the pregame, a pre-show, and I'm like, oh, is this the show? But then I saw a counter in the corner. I'm like, oh, this is a pre-show. And
oh, okay.
I felt bad for the host. She had whoever wrote her jokes. It was like cringe. Man.
Oh, really?
She's putting on a game face, but it's just not funny. And then I felt like there was just a lot of filler. Things I wanted to see got rushed through. Things I had no interest to were lingered on. And I was joking about it before we started recording. I might just be too old. This might be a show for the kids, the younger people. But I don't know if it's a middle-aged type of... I don't care for the format. I'll just put it that way.
Okay, interesting. And Kirk, did you catch any of it? We know the secret behind Kirk's disdain for award shows.
I didn't go anywhere near it. I didn't watch a single highlight. I had no interest whatsoever. Although I will say, Trevor, all the complaints that you just made about it sound to me like every single award show ever in the history of time. So if they're following those beats, it doesn't sound like anything different from what I have, ever seen. So no, just there is nothing in an award show between that and parades on television. I think I could lock myself in a room for a month and have more fun than I would watching either of them for any more than an hour.
Fair point. Cool.
You got to be passionate about these things, right?
Yes.
What's the point of having an opinion if you're not passionate about it?
Take a stand and back it up. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Nintendo did quite well, I think, in the end. I was sort of concerned. I was reading through the list. I'm like, oh, Nintendo didn't really get, they didn't get sort of best art direction or best sound or whatever it was. But Tears of the Kingdom did come away with best action adventure game. And then Mario Wonder came off with the best family game, which I'm not super surprised.
And there's a point to illustrate, Gemma. if I can just interject.
Yeah, of course.
So Mario Wonder took the award. It wasn't even during the show. It was like the pre-show.
Oh, really?
And, you know, the host for that part was trying to crack jokes or whatever. And then they're like, and best family game winner is Mario Wonder. And there was like no, you know, speech or anything. And it was like a throwaway award. And I'm like, we're not talking about like eSport of the year or YouTuber of the year. This is Mario Wonder, best family game. I feel like that should be in the show. So it kind of set me sour almost from the beginning.
Yeah, that's interesting. And they didn't even say like, do that. And because I didn't watch it, do they do this with the other awards? Just not the pre-show, but do they go through the nominees? Like nominees for best family game?
Oh, they did. They kind of rattled them off quickly, but
right.
The impression it left is that this was a lesser award, you know, Tears of the Kingdom was a bigger award.
Right.
You know, Mario Wonder was like, oh, it's a family game. And that's why I wonder if the audience for this show isn't families or isn't, you know, older gamers, if it's more for, you know, the youngsters.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a fair point to me. Like, if Mario Wonder wasn't in there, what kind of game would be in the family category? Not to disparage any of those kind of games, but the people who are actually going to tune in to watch a gaming award show, I'm assuming are going to be your hardcore gamers. Parents that are playing Mario Wonder with their children aren't, they probably don't even know the award exists.
Yeah, true. And based on things like, what best YouTuber and esports and things like that, that does sound, and even the one that won was, what was the game that won the best game of the year or whatever? It was,
Baldur's Gate?
Gate 3, yeah. So that's probably more of a hardcore gamer type of situation. Yeah. Okay. That's disappointing. But like you said, maybe it is that audience, right? So, sorry.
What category was Baldur's Gate 3 in? Because if it won Game of the Year, but Tears of the Kingdom won Best Action Adventure Game, I would have thought that's what Baldur's Gate 3 would be in.
True. I thought Baldur's Gate 3 won a few awards, but I don't know which ones off the top of my head.
Well, they had to give Tears of the Kingdom at least one award, or
it would have been crazy.
The game was too big. You have to acknowledge it in some shape or fashion.
Yeah. Oh, if it didn't get something, I would have been, I was going to say I would riot, but I wouldn't. I would just sit here on this podcast and say no. it would have been a bit of a shock to the system, I think, since it was one of the biggest games of the year, you know.
It was. And like even not to kind of hype up our own Pure Nintendo Awards, because that's a small thing, but even though as a team maybe we weren't quite as into the game as some other outlets, just looking at the early voting, you know, I wouldn't be shocked to see Tears of the Kingdom duking it out, you know, for our own game here. Because even people who are less enamored with it, it's still like in our top three, so...
Yeah. I mean, it just had such a big impact. We were all playing it for months and months and talking about it on this show for months and months. And yeah, it was definitely worthy of an award, I would say. So I really was a little bit surprised it didn't get Game of the Year, to be honest. But I think it's all, I'm not sure, because is it all voted for by the audience? Because I went online and voted, but is that sort of, I don't know if that's like half of it is from online votes or half of it's from some sort of judging panel. Do you guys know?
No idea.
We don't, but yeah.
I imagine. A good question. Yeah.
Speaking
maybe
of online,
this Jeff guy just picks them all.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And the online voting is just trivial, really.
Hear you mention online, Gemma, reminded me of something. It wasn't voting, but you know, they do giveaways during the show. And they're like, oh, go to this site and you can enter to win whatever, a Steam Deck or whatever it was. I can't remember. And the site was like crashing. It's like, oh, you're in the queue to enter. You can come in 3 hours. And of course, the show, you know, it's only active while the show is running. So by the time I got in, you know, the vote, it was done. You couldn't enter. And I'm like, ugh. And that just gives me that just adds to the impressions I was getting. Like, okay, this is, it's just not for me.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. The voting side of things was very easy. I jumped in and did that. I think after we recorded last week, I jumped online and just voted. I just skipped a few categories that I didn't really care about, like the YouTuber type of ones. I'm like, I don't know any of those people. I'm not going to pick one at random. No, exactly. Maybe Maybe next year, hey? We'll get there. Yeah. So I voted, you know, I voted for Tears of the Kingdom, for example. I voted for Mario Wonder. I voted for Pikmin 4 as well. I think the Sim strategy one was actually a bit tricky because it did have three Nintendo games in there. It was Pikmin 4, Fire Emblem, and Advance Wars 1 and 2. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Pikmin 4, games. I think. Yeah, so Pikmin 4 took that one out, which is pretty
cool.
See,
Kirk, if you would have voted for Fire Emblem, it might have pulled off an upset.
Yes, maybe.
Is that... That brings up a question, though. Is that... I mean, I don't know if that's how they were doing it, but my problem with turning these awards over to fans is it just becomes a popularity contest at that point, as opposed to, yes, I have played all these games from start to finish. I do have a qualified opinion on the matter, and it should count as much as everyone else's, because you just haven't. So I don't, you know, again, I don't know if that's how they're doing it or what the point of it is, but it's the same with professional football here in the United States, where the Pro Bowl fans are allowed to vote. And at that point, it just becomes, you know, most fans aren't qualified to vote. And I don't know that all gaming fans are qualified to vote on what the best game of the year was in any particular category.
True. Yeah. That's a fair point. I don't really understand the Pro Bowl thing. How do fans vote on football?
Oh, each year the best players all are chosen to, you know, be recognized basically in kind of a perfunctory game. But it used to just be that the journalists and athletes were making those picks, and now fan vote factors into some of it. So you're allowed to go in and cast votes, but you're just going to vote for your own players on the team you support, as opposed to, you know, objectively looking at everybody and seeing who had the best stats and affected their game the most. So again, you know, it's the same as the game awards here. I'm a Nintendo guy, so I'm going to go vote for all the Nintendo games, but I never played Baldur's Gate 3. It may be better than Tears of the Kingdom. I don't know, but I wouldn't vote for it because I never played it.
Yeah, that's a fair point because I'm the same, obviously. You know, I've voted for Tears of the Kingdom. I've never played Baldur's Gate 3, just like you. So I'm not going to vote for it. It may be better. I did check on Metacritic. They are both the same. I think it was 97, maybe. I think the Baldur's Gate 3 was slightly higher in the user reviews as opposed to the critic reviews. So... That sort of speaks to the Game Awards, right? If it's user-based, if it's fan-based. Oh. So, yeah, I think it was like 86 to 84 or something like that on Metacritic. I can't remember. But, yeah.
Well, as long as you have no follow-up questions, I'll say, yes, I have played Baldur's Gate. I don't want to have to answer anything about it.
Yes. I do hope that game, when we get our new Switch, I really hope Baldur's Gate 3 does come over because I played the first two way back in the day on the Macintosh. And I love Larian Studios. I believe they're the company that developed that, right? And they have a couple good old school RPGs available for the Switch. Maybe I'll be voting for it next year.
Yeah.
You wonder how many games they're holding for Switch 2 or Switch Pro, or just to get something with a little more horsepower.
Yeah, exactly. And that's sort of, I mean, that was almost obvious when it came to the announcement side of things because...
Yes.
Yeah, part of the Game Awards is the awards, and then the other part is the announcements, and there were a lot of trailers shown of new games, and none of them, well, sorry, not none of them, some of the bigger ones skipped over the Switch, and it seemed a bit odd. So it could be that because they're waiting for the Switch 2, and they're not allowed to say anything about the Switch 2, such as Visions of Mana, which I think would be perfect on the Switch. It's, you know, the Mana series has a strong Nintendo kind of history, I think. What do you guys think about that? Does that point, you know, to something bigger that we're not across yet? Because we can't be, we're not allowed to be.
It might. I mean, I don't know how Square has done all their other like Switch releases. It might be, I don't know if they cheap out like on cartridge space and Switch owners don't want to deal with like partial downloads. That might be a factor, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if it was something we'd see because it did. It originated, you know, on what, Super Nintendo, the first one. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they released some other Mana games and collections recently of older ones on the Switch. So
they have.
But that was my first thought was, oh man, we're never going to see this game. It was all right. Well, we'll find out about our version a few months down the road.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what it seemed like. There's no reason why Visions of Mana wouldn't come to a Nintendo system, I don't think. And then the other one was Monster Hunter Wilds, which was the big one from Capcom. I think that's not till 2025, that one. So it's a ways off. Yeah. Definitely could be a Switch 2 contender. Because, again, we've had plenty of Monster Hunter titles on Nintendo platforms over the years.
So many.
So that would be surprising if it wasn't Switch 2 or whatever. Maybe it's, yeah, maybe they're just skipping the Switch. I don't know. What when it comes to Switch 2, the same thing. When it comes to a new console, you know, like even the PS4 and PS5, don't a lot of games come out on both systems for a while? Or do they only focus on the newer one generally?
No, I think you see some dual releases. Yeah. I mean, and even with Nintendo, you saw, a bit of that, like at the end of the 3DS, you know, the Switch and 3DS got dual releases for some games. So I think that's kind of the tradition in the industry. I don't know about Microsoft, maybe not with them, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know the Switch is not, the most powerful of systems, but hey, Tears of the Kingdom ran perfectly fine. So
and where else are people getting handheld content? I mean, so that's the thing.
Yeah. No, I think a new Mana title is pretty big news for people who are fans of that series. I would count myself among them. So, yeah, it's a bit disappointing that it's not on the Switch. But, yeah, hopefully it is, like Kirk said, in a few months' time we'll hear that it is coming to whatever Nintendo has up their sleeve. So I guess stay tuned. But, yeah, it did seem that a lot of the bigger titles were lacking for Switch or Nintendo content. But there were plenty of other announcements that did seem pretty interesting. And I do need to mention also that the best indie title of the show was Sea of Stars. Well-deserved, do we think? Because we talked about indie last week. You know, Dave the Diver was, up nominated, and there was that controversy about what is an indie title. What do we think about Sea of Stars taking out that award? Has Kirk played it? Have you played it, Kirk?
I have not. I'm going to. It's on my wish list. I was waiting for a sale. If the sale doesn't come, then, come Christmas morning when I get my Nintendo gift cards at the family gatherings, then Sea of Stars is the very first game I'm going to get. So
cool.
I assume it would have to be because it was so well received as far as reviews and sales go that I wasn't surprised that it's best indie game. Fully knowing what the other nominees were, but it didn't come as a surprise to me at all, just based on what I've read.
Yep. Kirk? Sorry. You were Kirk. Trev, did you have something to add to that? I felt like you were trying to say something.
I haven't played it. I don't think we reviewed this one, but
no.
I will say I have seen it in at least one top 10 list from our team.
Okay.
Those who have voted, not everyone voted.
I need to send you my list. I have it. I have it complete.
I didn't say who.
Hey.
make sure the Mario RPG is on there, or he's going to yell at you. You don't want to get scolded by Trevor.
No, it's on there. Don't worry. It's on there. That could be anyone. Yeah. No, I think I know who has it on their top 10 anyway, but I've played the demo and I think we talked about it a while ago on this show.
Yeah.
And it's obviously a very beautiful game. Yeah, like you, Kirk, I would like to pick it up, I think, when it's on sale as well. It does look it just looks beautiful, honestly. And it has a really good feel to it in terms of old school RPG, but with lovely visuals. So, yeah, interesting. Well, it'll be good to see our lists as they formulate when everyone has submitted theirs.
It's exciting to see some indie games sneak in because, I mean, there was a lot of I feel like it's a first party dominated year if you're a Nintendo fan. There's a lot of big releases. So, to see potentially games like Sea of Stars or some of these others, crack our top 10, I think says a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very true. Other announcements that may impact us as Nintendo fans and Switch players. There was Dave the Diver Dredge DLC, like a crossover event, which is pretty exciting, I think. I mean, we talked about both of these games last week. They were both nominated for Best Indie Title, both outstanding games in their own right. And there's a crossover, which I think is really cool. I can't wait to try it. So I don't know what much more about it. Did you guys catch more than the fact that it exists? Like, I don't even know how it works, really. But it seems like a darker version of Dave the Diver. Like, he's still diving. But, you know, Dredge is a Lovecraftian and sea adventure with monsters and all sorts of things. And Dave the Diver already has that element. So seeing how they merge the two will be very interesting. Any thoughts on that? Have either of you played Dave the Diver or Dredge? I haven't played either one.
I did. Dredge looked interesting. I remember seeing some press releases coming over for that. So I did see when there was going to be a crossover. I was like, that looks like it could be really cool. But haven't played either one, so I can't weigh in beyond that.
Yeah, that's okay.
I just started playing Dave the Diver within the past week, and I haven't gotten terribly far. I don't know if I can play it in handheld mode. The text is so small. I'm like, I get the thing right in my face, and I'm like, I can barely read this. So I'm going to have to play it docked and hope maybe they do an update patch to have readable text. But,
oh, interesting. Yeah.
I'd have to play more before I can give you like an informed opinion. Okay.
I find that with a few games, actually, the text is too small, which is annoying. Even in docked mode, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to sit too close to the TV, and I've got a big TV, and if I can't read it from the couch, I'm like, this text is too small.
Like, it's like, just give us the option you want.
Yeah.
For
font size. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A few other interesting little nuggets of announcements were World of Goo 2, which I think World of Goo was a WiiWare title, right? Back in the day.
It was. It is on Switch also. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I like that game. This one looked very much like the first one from what I remember, but not that that's a bad thing necessarily, because I had a lot of fun with the first one. So it's on my radar.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really cool little surprise. Rise of the Golden Idol was another one that was coming to Switch, as well as Tales of Kenzera, ZAU, I don't know, ZAU, which was some sort of Metroidvania, which looked quite pretty. Yeah. So there's a few titles that are definitely Switch bound. Yeah, just a few others of the bigger ones that were ominously missing, but yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, overall, I guess it's hard to rate the show because I've never really paid too much attention to it previously, so, and none of us really watched the whole thing in its entirety. I mean, from a Nintendo perspective, I suppose 3 wins is good. I don't know, would we say overall success? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if Nintendo cares about
probably not. No.
Yeah, and that's a good point too with the announcements, because if knowing that Nintendo has the eyeballs of gamers across all platforms, especially like the younger, more rabid gamers, if they really wanted to make an impression with them, there would be some kind of announcement here, some kind of movement. True. When people outside of the Nintendo world are looking. So I just don't think they care about that audience, and that's fine. They've got their core group, and we're going to speak directly to you when we want to speak to you. And otherwise, we'll show up and we'll say thanks if we win something, but no big deal if we don't.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, I think that's accurate. Very true. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to some other news. And I don't know if anyone's interested in this, but we've talked about Amiibo on and off for the last little while, and I've become an avid collector. There is a new Amiibo announced, which is Sora from Smash Brothers, and this one comes out in February. Is anyone going to pick this one up, or is it just me? So Sora is from Kingdom Hearts, right? The character.
I feel like since Roger left, the Amiibo talk is kind of...
Yeah, a little bit, because we had that competition. We were trying to outdo each other. And I have to admit, I haven't been as avid in my collection either, but that's because there hasn't been much. Anytime a new one comes out, I have grabbed it. Like, I got the two new Tears of the Kingdom ones that came out recently, and any other of the Smash ones that have come out. But for me, I was probably more excited that in Australia, at least, in the My Nintendo store, had some of the classic Mario characters back in stock, which I don't have all of these. So Mario, Luigi, Peach, Yoshi, and Bowser are back in stock. I only had Mario and Peach. So I picked up the other three.
Oh, wow.
Well, I've ordered them.
Those like the original wave?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So I wasn't collecting them back then. Well, I randomly was when they came with games or when they were part of a package or something.
Yeah.
I wasn't sort of going out of my way to get them. I kind of thought I was a bit, I wasn't really into Toys to Life. I thought it was a bit of a fad. Probably still is.
Well,
but,
it kind of was, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, the Amiibo has sort of survived the longest, I guess. It's still kicking around, so.
That's true. Yeah. Mm. There was a rumor early in the year that Skylanders might be coming back, but.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what happened to Disney Infinity or Lego Dimensions? I mean, they were like a blip on the radar.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
exactly.
Remember that, what was it, Starlink on the Switch?
Yeah.
They couldn't even give that game away. It's like on every Black Friday, it's like, oh, $3, get this box.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So I don't know if it was oversaturated. I don't know if Nintendo fans are just more, I don't know, rabid about collecting things. I rarely even use them as Toys to Life. I just have them on my shelf because they look cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I agree.
So, yeah. So that's my Amiibo update. I did notice while I was in the store, the My Nintendo store, that Mario Wonder has a few little extra kind of collectibles that you can get in exchange for points. I didn't quite have enough points for both. So I think I got there's a key ring and a badge. I think I got the key ring. So that's on its way.
Well, you did say you were collecting badges. So
I know, which is why I was thinking about the badge. I'm like, oh, that badge would be cool. I could put it on my lanyard at PAX next year. But I went with the keyring because I thought I actually will use the keyring every day on my keys, whereas the badge I'll use for 3 days in October next year.
Hey, I forgot to ask you guys, when the game came out, my copy of Wonder came with like this pack of like playing cards. I was wondering if you guys got anything like that. And I was wondering if they made more of them. Like, should I be collecting these? Because there's like, I don't know, half a dozen cards in there. And
I thought you meant like a deck of cards. But you mean like collectible cards?
Yeah, sort of like those Amiibo cards kind of. You know, Animal Crossing, cool. You open it and there's like maybe 6 cards in there.
No, I did not see those. That's really cool.
I'm going to have to do a little digging and see if they're actually available to collect or if it was just like a pre-order bonus or something.
Yeah, that is cool. It might have been a pre-order bonus. I think there was... I missed out on the pre-order because I think I said at the time, my local store that I was trying to get it from shut. So I missed out. I missed out on the pre-order bonus, unfortunately. I think it might have been some kind of badge, actually. It was Elephant Mario something, a pin or a sticker. I don't know. I don't know what it was. It wasn't that great, but it was something. It wasn't cards. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So I wondered if you'd heard of this game that's currently available for free as a game trial, which is called Suica Game. Like, that's the name of it. It's called Suica Game. And it's kind of a falling block / fruit merging game. It's available right now on the Switch for free until the 11th of December, which will be the day that this launches. So if you're listening on the day that this launches, you can jump online and play for free for one more day. But yeah, essentially, I had not heard of this game. It's really cute and fun, and it's actually quite cheap, I think, normally anyway. I think it's only maybe $5 or something. And fruit drop down. Sorry, and I'm just talking here, but before I do explain it, has anyone heard of this before?
I have not heard of it. I went on, once I saw that we were discussing this, I went into the eShop to see what it was about. And looking at the photos, I could not figure out what the game was about.
Yeah, it took me a while as well. Yeah.
I don't see any actual gameplay in the screen captures, but I could be wrong.
It kind of has that budget mobile look to me.
It does.
It's $2.99, so maybe it is.
There you go. Yeah, it's a couple of dollars. It's super cheap. It's an interesting choice for a free game trial because I think you could just play it and enjoy it and then move on. But it could be addictive. It's one of those games that would work well on a mobile, I have to say. And I've played it since I downloaded it. I've played it maybe 5 or 6 times. It's really fun. It is a really fun, cute, just relaxing kind of game. And the idea is fruit drop down from the top, from this little cloud, this adorable little cloud, and they fall into this kind of Tetris-like column. When two fruit that are the same touch each other, they merge into a slightly bigger fruit. And the goal, as far as I know, I haven't reached it, is to get to the biggest fruit. There's like this evolution. It goes, I don't know. I don't even know what the first fruit is. It's a red fruit. It could be a radish or a cherry. I don't even know. But it goes like cherry, strawberry, melon, orange, and it goes up and up and up and gets bigger. There's like a pineapple, there's a peach, there's a water, I think a watermelon maybe is the final one or the second to last one. I've only ever got to the second to last of these, like, I think there's 10. It's simple, really simple gameplay, but it's, well, in my 6 games that I've had with it, I haven't managed to accomplish it, so it's quite hard. And essentially you're just, it's a, I guess as you're going along, you earn points. And so there's a leaderboard, and that's probably the aim that keeps you coming back in terms of longevity. You would want to beat your score or beat other scores. There's like a global leaderboard for the day, for the month, for the week, whatever. There's a few different places there. So yeah. And the music is very cute and just very sweet and relaxing. And it's honestly a very sweet game. I don't know if I would ever have bought it had there not been a free trial. To be honest.
Oh, so you bought it?
No. I'm just playing it as part of the free game trial. I'm just saying I would not have heard of it. It was not on my radar at all. But my son had heard of it. He knew of it. He's like, oh yeah, Suica, that's on Roblox or something. I'm like, what? So it's a thing. It's a thing that's out there. People know about it. Yeah, it's enjoyable. And it's $2.99, I guess. So it's pretty good. There's not a lot else you can do though, apart from merge fruits. That's literally all there is to do. So yeah, take it for what it is. But yeah, I enjoyed it for what it is anyway. It's kind of a surprise, just cute thing. Like the fruit have little faces. I can't even describe just how adorable it is. It's just the cutest thing. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So I just noticed, and I didn't write down enough detail about this, sorry, but the Smash Brothers 5th anniversary is happening at the moment. I think there's some sort of special event. Are either of you Smash Brothers players or fans, or maybe Trev, are you a fan? Oh, Kirk was going to speak. Sorry, Kirk.
Yeah, like Kirk.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't have a whole lot to say. I haven't played it. This is a game I used to really enjoy watching my son play because he got really good at it really fast. So, in fact, I think that was one of the first games that he really, really got into to become a Nintendo fan.
Which one was he playing? The one on the sort of...
Well, the first one, what was the one that came out on the Wii? He still says it's the best and has been calling out for a new version of that forever. But I can't remember which one it was. It's funny because I got him into these games because he was playing that Godzilla game that was on the Wii, which was also a fighting game, and he was into Godzilla. So that's how I got him into gaming. And then he jumped from that to Smash Brothers and just took off and became so much better than me so quickly that I could do was watch and be impressed.
Was it Brawl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did have that one. I think that's the only one.
Because the Wii U didn't even have a moniker, right? It was just Smash Brothers Wii U because it was also on 3DS.
That sounds right.
Yes, it was. It was on both, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was Brawl.
And he didn't like the one on the Wii U. He likes this one that we're talking about now, the
Ultimate,
is that what it's called? See, I just watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, he hasn't played it lately though, so I don't know if he's aware of the 5th anniversary or hasn't been a part of it at least. So maybe I'll point that out and see what he can pick up and goof around with.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of content coming in terms of some sort of spirit event. I think it coincides a little bit with the Sora amiibo as well. There's some sort of amiibo event. I'm calling it an event. I don't know. A tournament, I suppose, is probably a better term. There's an amiibo tournament as part of it. So there's a few things coming next year as well, by the looks of it, for fans. And I think a lot of people were kind of hoping for a Smash 6. I think they're up to 6 now, like at the next in the series. So we haven't obviously heard anything about that. I had thought when this one came out that they'd said this was the last one, or did they mean that was the last one from the creator? He was done with it, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and I thought he said when they released the last DLC, he indicated that that was that. But I swear I saw something where he tweeted something or whatever about perhaps this isn't done or I'd be involved somehow with the next one. Some kind of ambiguous statement to give fans hope. But I could be completely wrong about that. I can't point anyone to what I saw that made me think that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I do enjoy the series. I don't have Ultimate. My brother has it, so I do play it sometimes with him. I'm just terrible at it. So it's not something I enjoy because I'm not very good at it. So I do like using Kirby, though, and floating and trying not to fall as much as possible. That's my kind of one way to escape. I do. It's the idea of having all of these characters mashed together in a Brawl-type atmosphere is pretty cool, I have to say. Like Pac-Man and Mario and, you know, Link and Zelda, like, it's just crazy. Like, who would have thought this would ever be a thing that would happen?
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm just not very good at fighters.
You see other companies trying to replicate it too, and just failing because they don't have the group of characters to draw from that Nintendo does. So, I mean, it's got to be, aside from the occasional, like, SpongeBob thing or whatever, there's, like, a Nickelodeon one or something like that, which is fine. And they do have a lot, but they don't have the gaming fan base that Nintendo has. So, I can't see this formula ever working anywhere off of a Nintendo system.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. It reminded me, there was a game I reviewed on the Switch a few years back. I think it was called Bounty Battle, and it was, like, supposed to be the Smash Brothers with indie characters. And I gave it a 3.5 out of 10. but here's what's kind of funny or sad, depending on your perspective. My 3.5 or 35 is the highest score on Metacritic.
Oh, wow.
The highest score at 35.
Oh, that's very sad. Did that have SteamWorld in it? That had someone from SteamWorld dig in it, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a good idea, just... the execution was off, and I mean, Smash is big. I mean, Smash is Ultimate on the Switch is the third best selling Switch game. It sold more than Breath of the Wild, which shocked me. But
yeah, okay. Is it better than Mario Kart? I'm guessing no.
No, it's Kart, Animal Crossing, and then Smash Ultimate is
right. Third. Yeah,
but yeah, like 32, 33 million, whatever it was. It's like,
wow. Yeah, that's impressive.
It's a giant.
I mean,
they've traditionally been great sellers. Like, even GameCube Melee was, like, I think, the best seller. So,
Yeah. Well, maybe they're waiting for the next. I mean, they wouldn't release another one on the Switch, I don't think, right? It's not just because it's late in the Switch's life cycle, but they don't tend to do. It's like Mario Kart. They don't tend to do two versions on the one console. They'll wait to a new console, and then they'll have a new iteration.
Yeah, and so it's a system mover. I mean, it will be.
Yeah. You just know it, so. Totally. All they need to do is have a new Smash, new Mario Kart, and by the sounds of it, a new Animal Crossing, and whatever the new Switch is, this will do well. Yeah. I think it probably also, you know, Kirk's point about the roster of characters being so big and popular on Nintendo's platforms. Probably also translates to Mario Kart, because you know how we see Mario Kart obviously is very successful and very popular, but there are other companies that try to do a similar kart racer and it just is never as good and never as popular. And I wonder if it's the same theory, that they just don't have the fan base, the gaming fan base, or the characters, right?
Yeah. Well, too, like you figure it's not just characters, but probably budget, like, Nintendo treats Mario Kart like the AAA title it is. Who knows how much, you know, the development costs are for that game.
Yeah.
Are other companies willing to fund a kart racer when maybe their audience is more first-person shooters or some of those M-rated games?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I feel bad for Bounty Battle. It's called the Ultimate Indie Fighter, but it's the only indie fighter, I suppose, right? So...
yeah. I loved it more than most critics, and I didn't love it at all.
Oh, dear. Yeah, good idea in theory, but not in practice, obviously. Yes, interesting. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. Smash Brothers 5th anniversary, I guess it'll keep the fans happy for a little while, which is cool, until there's news of a new outing. But
Is the Sora the last amiibo, or are there other Smash amiibos you're still waiting on?
I don't know. I thought the last one was the last one. So I don't know. That is a good question. Yeah.
Because they did say they were doing amiibo for all the characters, right?
Yeah. I'd have to look it up. I'm not sure. Sorry.
I have Noah and Mio. Yeah, I get Mia on order from Xenoblade Chronicles. Those are shipping in January.
Yeah, that's right.
And I didn't think that was the last one. I thought they were done announcing them, but I thought there was one that was coming out after them that they announced at the same time. But
oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
Maybe that's Sora. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be.
Mm. Yep. Sounds about right. Cool. Yeah, well, that's something to keep us interested. If you're fans of the game, let us know who's your favorite Smash Brothers character, I guess, to use. If you were playing Trev, I assume you have played over the years. Who's your go-to?
Smash, I actually have not played since, like, well, I've got the N64 when Melee was popular, but probably since Melee, I haven't really done much with Smash. It's a little, okay. I probably commented on this before, but it's a little too chaotic for me. I grew up with fighters like, you know, Street Fighter, Samurai Showdown, some of those one-on-one type of brawlers.
Yeah.
So I find myself just constantly, maybe I should play as Kirby, like you, Gemma, because I'm always falling off the stage.
Yeah. Yes.
I love the different backgrounds, and I love how they incorporate settings from, you know, even crazy games like, you know, Animal Crossing. You know, it's like, oh, let's have a fight here in Animal Village.
But, yeah.
It's just not the sort of game I'd play on my own with friends. You know, you're guaranteed, you know, laughter. But
yes, that's true.
You know, Mario Kart is a game I love with friends, but I also love it on my own. And Smash just isn't that type of game for me. So,
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm in the minority because 33 million copies sold.
Yeah. Yes. And Kirk, who would be your go-to if you were to play?
Well, I think I'm going to surprise you a little bit because you might think I would go with one of the myriad Fire Emblem characters that are in the system now. But the one I think I always did the best with actually was Sheik from Zelda.
Oh, yeah, cool. Okay. That is a surprise. Mm-hmm. But that makes sense. Yeah.
Hey, actually, isn't Professor Layton in one of the newer Smashes? Because I've been playing some Layton games. I might pick Layton just because.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I know Olimar is in it from Pikmin, and he can throw Pikmin. That's pretty cute, but I don't know how effective he is.
I'm pretty sure I remember seeing.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be, I'd like to see.
I don't know. Maybe it's not even legit. Maybe it was one of those like fan ROM hacks.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. That's interesting. But hey, they could go anywhere with that, couldn't they? Well, speaking of Zelda, I suppose, in a roundabout way, there was a very small update to the movie news that we heard recently, that they're making a Zelda movie, and that was that director Wes Ball, he apparently wants to take inspiration from the Studio Ghibli movies, because we were talking about what this movie could look like, and we sort of thought it would be Lord of the Rings-ish. And I think he even said in this short interview that he doesn't want it to just be like Lord of the Rings. He wants it to be its own thing, which I think is a really good way to go about it. And Studio Ghibli is obviously very, you know, it's well known. It's renowned for not just beautiful artwork, but, you know, good stories and engaging characters. If they can do something like that, obviously a live action version of Studio Ghibli, which is animated, I mean, I'm interested. What do you guys think? Are you guys Studio Ghibli fans? And do you think that could translate into a Zelda movie somehow? What do you think, Kirk?
I thought, when he first said that, my first thought was that aren't most of the Studio Ghibli movies like really kind of gentle? And that could be completely wrong because I guess I haven't seen most of them. But then I thought of the one I did see in the theater, and my favorite of all the ones that I've seen is Princess Mononoke. Mm-hmm. And that certainly had some very big battle sequences in it that I thought I could immediately see that approach for how it's presented, how the battles are presented, the characters leading up to it, how the action is done. I could see how that could be replicated in the Zelda universe. So, I assume that Ghibli's big enough, the universe, like there are so many different things going on, so many types of stories that, you know, it's kind of a general statement that doesn't actually really mean a lot, because
yeah.
it could be on, you know, dozens and dozens of different things he's talking about. But my second thought was, well, again, that's a very respected Japanese company, so it sounds to me like his heart is in the right place and his approach is in the right place, and we're not just going to get like an American sort of like Transformers kind of thing.
Yeah.
Good. That's my long way of saying good.
Good. Yes. What do you think, Trev? Do you also think good?
Yeah. You know, I've never actually seen from beginning to end. I haven't actually seen a studio.
Really?
A Ghibli. Is it Ghibli or Ghibli? I thought it was Ghibli.
I say Ghibli. I don't know.
You might be right.
Like,
I might be
thinking
of Strong Bad. Give me the Ghiblis. Yeah. So I don't know. But, you know, the scenes I've seen, they've all been really, I mean, just gorgeous, you know, aesthetically pleasing. And I think I've even referenced, like, certain games sometimes will have cutscenes and, you know, you could tell if they're well budgeted and have a lot of effort. I'm like, oh, they're Ghibli-esque or Ghibli-esque.
Yes.
I think this is a good approach if that's what they mean, you know, that style of animation or, you know, that style of whatever. If it's just talking from a story element, I can't actually comment because, again, I don't have an informed enough opinion. But,
yeah,
it does put some of my initial worries, you know, at ease a bit.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Hopefully that's the best thing to take away from it. Like Kirk said, good. Yeah. like you said, Kirk, it is a respected Japanese studio that's been around. I mean, how long has it been around? 20, 30 plus years? It's been around a long time. They've made a bunch of movies. I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen a lot of them. I'm a big fan. My kids are big fans as well. We love Spirited Away. We love Ponyo. We love Howl's Moving Castle. I don't think they've seen Princess Mononoke, but I've seen that one. And some of them are gentle. Like you said, Ponyo springs to mind, Kirk, when I think gentle Ghibli movies. It's very...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, that movies like that probably unfairly stand out in my mind, again, because I haven't seen enough. No point repeating.
Yeah. Things like Howl's Moving Castle have quite epic scenes. They're quite short, but they're battle scenes that I think look and work well. There's a lot. Even Spirited Away, there's not really battles per se, but there's lots of magic. There's lots of tension, I suppose, and drama and, magic battles, maybe you could say. I don't know. I think it's good. I think it's a good direction to go with. And, you know, it does make me think, though, because you know how Mario was done with Illumination, like it was a collaboration effort. Imagine if The Legend of Zelda was done collaboratively with Studio Ghibli and it was animated. Now that would be amazing. So I did think that as well. I'm like, that would have been
Awesome. Cool. I mean, they're iconic. Even for someone who's never seen, you know, a movie from beginning to end. Like sometimes you'll see like little spoofs from different movies. Like my wife and I were watching like a Bob's Burger episode. And I'm like, oh, that's from a Studio Ghibli movie. And it's what I hadn't seen, but I just knew the scene. They're iconic. And I think that speaks to their quality.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, so that's good news. And obviously we'll keep an eye out for any further developments because it is huge. I don't think we don't even have a release date or anything like that at the moment. So yeah, stay tuned. This week we also found out that three new Nintendo 64 titles were added to Switch Online. I haven't had a chance to try these, sorry guys. I don't know if either of you have, but they were worth mentioning. So we've got Harvest Moon 64, we've got 1080 Snowboarding and Jet Force Gemini, which are three very different genres, right? Harvest Moon being like a sim, I guess, farming sim. 1080 Snowboarding, action, sports, and Jet Force Gemini, I think is like an action adventure type of situation, if I'm not mistaken. Has anyone played these in their original format? Are you interested in picking them up, not picking them up, but playing them on the Switch Online? What do we think? Trev, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I feel like this is, you know, kind of exciting news just because Switch Online gets updated sporadically. And of course, Nintendo unleashes these, right? Like I think they were during the Game Awards.
Yeah. So
yeah. That's the sort of thing they would do. Just kind of.
Yeah.
Two of these games I owned for 64.
Ooh, in fact,
I might still, I might still own them. I don't I have to check.
Yeah.
1080 Snowboarding. I think that's one I've owned. It might still, I think it's good timing with the cold weather coming everywhere except for where you are, Gemma.
Yep.
And Jet Force Gemini was a rare game. And I mean, rare developed, not a rare game. It was common. But I remember picking that up at the mall back in the day. And it seemed like the thing that appealed to me is it seemed like it was a little more, I want to say maybe grown up. It wasn't just, oh, you know, cute, fluffy, like Banjo-Kazooie. This is, you know, get some firepower to it, you know, with different enemies and whatnot. So it's one I haven't played in ages, but I'd definitely be up to revisiting it for nostalgia. And Moon 64 never played, but I feel like it's a pure title because like the later Harvest Moons and the Story of Seasons have kind of really developed in their own direction. And I feel like if you want the Harvest Moon experience at its core, 64 or the SNES game are what you're looking for.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's cool. I didn't realize that you're right. Jet Force Gemini is a rare game, which is kind of makes it a little bit more exciting. I hadn't played any of these three, to be honest. I know the first two. I've obviously heard of Harvest Moon and 1080 Snowboarding. 1080 Snowboarding was quite popular, I think, at the time, wasn't it, on the N64? I think it was pretty popular.
It might have been one of the player's choice.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I mean, it had to have been popular enough for me to get it because, you know,
yeah.
Back at that time I was working, but, you know, I was still young. Mm. It's not like I was.
Yeah.
You know.
And Jet Force Gemini is like it's like a third person shooter, Jet Force Gemini. I had thought of it more of as a side scroller or something. I don't know why. I thought of it like Mega Man, but no, it's a third person shooter. Oh. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Like a Mega Man in third person. I could see maybe why you think that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'll have to check them out, I think. At least the third one there, Jet Force Gemini, just because it is a little bit different for Rare, like you said. Kirk, do you have any experience with either of these three?
I do not. I guess I've played through or seen some people playing the Harvest Moon games, and like the the company that developed the original Harvest Moon eventually flipped over to Story of Seasons, right?
Yeah.
So, but this was one that the original developers did. So I think from that point of view, it would be something interesting to look at, as you mentioned, to see where it came from. Trev, you said it's kind of like the core gameplay of what, you know, because it blossomed out in different ways. So that would be the most interesting to me, but I don't think I'm going to visit any of these.
Yeah, fair enough. That's cool. They're there though for players. If you have a Switch online membership, they are free to play. So worth checking out if you're interested. And I do mean, like
1080 was popular enough to, I'm sorry, Jim, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go.
Yeah, it was popular enough. It got a follow-up on the GameCube, I think, or a sequel. Right. I'm not sure exactly where it falls in the timeline, but
yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I thought there was a sequel somewhere along the way there.
It must have been a good seller to justify that.
Yeah. I wonder if the sequel did not do as well then, since it's stopped there. You know, we hear people asking for F-Zero follow-ups. Why is no one asking for 1080 Snowboarding follow-ups? Yeah.
I don't know. It was player's choice. I just looked it up in North America and in Europe.
Oh, there you go. Cool.
So I think back then, a player's choice, you had to be a million seller. I think on the GameCube, they lowered it. You just had to do a quarter of a million, but...
Oh, okay.
So it was popular.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, thanks for that, Trev. Are we playing anything else at the moment in the last few minutes that we have? What are we playing at the moment? I've only been playing that Suica game as well as Mario RPG and stuff like that. Nothing particularly new to talk about.
You don't have any review games, Jim?
I do, but nothing I haven't already mentioned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the case for me. Like I'm trying to, because the year's wrapping up and I'm like, I want to bust out these reviews, and then I'm also playing, you know, because we're going to be doing our own best of 2023, and I'm trying to settle on certain placements.
Yeah,
I've been doing that. It really is. Like, Jen and I were playing more Mario Wonder last night. And it's just like, I love the sense in that game of just, I love that it's not linear. Like, it's like, oh, I'm like, where's this pipe go to? And it's a whole new world, or it's a special area. And I'm like, I feel almost overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But in a good way. And I'm like, man, is this my game of the year? And then, you know, I'm posting my, well, it's up on the site, my Mario RPG review. And I'm like, oh no, this is my game of the year. And then I'm thinking about Zelda and I'm like, man, I sunk more time into that than either of these games combined. Mm-hmm. That's why it's like, it's so hard. And, you know, and then Pikmin 4, which is my late arrival. So it's like, could that sneak up? And so between that and review games, I think the only game I'm playing for fun is, I did beat Leighton Curious Village and I'm starting Diabolical Box, or I think it was called Pandora's Box, maybe in your region. But yes, that's my only game for just straight out fun and no other motivation besides.
Yeah, no, that's very accurate. I have the same issue. And I don't think there's a right answer, honestly. They all could be deserving of number one, honestly. It's very hard. I'm struggling with that. What about you, Kirk? You playing anything interesting at the moment?
Kind of in the same situation you are, in that most of the games I'm playing for review I've already gone over here on the site. There's another one I'll probably pick up this week, one more new game to pump out before the end of the year. But otherwise, I'm still playing through Persona 5 Royal, which I'm enjoying a lot more this time around. I mentioned that I think I'd just gotten to the end of where I stopped last time, and now I pushed forward into like another castle area, we'll call it. And I get it now. I get why people liked it so much. I'm still not as big into it as a lot of reviews will say it was the best RPG of the year that it was released and one of the best reviewed ever. And I'm not quite that big on it, but I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Nice. Well, that's good. It's good to pick up something and actually enjoy your time with it.
Like in a way, I'm glad I didn't review it because I could just take my time, go through it at my own pace. I don't feel like I've got to push forward when I no longer want to. And that just helps you relax and have a good time with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Very good point. It's all a balancing act, really, isn't it? So, yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you very much. I think, unless there's something else you wanted to add, either of you, we could probably close it off there. Did you have anything to add, Trev?
No, just thanks everyone who's listening, or if you're on YouTube watching.
Yeah, thank you very much to all our listeners, and please subscribe so you can get notifications of our latest videos. And
I did think of something, Gemma. Yeah? I'm sorry.
Oh,
I just thought of it.
Sure.
Because Kirk had to duck out early last week.
Oh, that's right. So. Yes. Did you listen to
Kirk? In
fact,
I'm not even sure if I mentioned this on the show, but I think it was the episode 2 weeks ago. Maybe Kirk had a retraction. And yes. I loved on YouTube, you put up a little clip of Mario, like with the shocked face.
No,
I just encourage listeners, if you can, to listen on YouTube, because Gemma does a lot of fun little clips like that. So
it is fun. Yes, it is fun.
I shocked Mario with my honesty.
Yes, you did. I know. I'm like, oh, I need something there. And I just happened to find that. I'm like, yeah, that'll do.
So, well, good. I'll start messing a lot of things up so you can have a lot of fun with little animations each time it happens.
Thanks, Kirk. Yeah.
I'm not as dumb as I sound. I'm doing this for comedic value.
Yeah. Well, there's always one. You know, you have the straight-laced comedian or whatever, and then the one who is, making the joke. So, yeah. No, that's cool. Thank you. And Kirk, did you actually go back and listen? Because we didn't realize you'd left at first last week.
So. Oh, I know. I put a message on the chat thing. Did that not show up?
It did. It just, at first, I didn't see it. And I just thought you were very quiet. And then I read the message. So, yeah.
Okay. I went back and listened, but didn't get all the way through it because I get pulled away. And so I didn't see that you, I didn't stick around to see how you guys handled my fading away into the ether.
We were lost. We're like, what's happened to Kirk?
Kirk's mad at me.
Yeah.
He knows I prefer Gandhi to Tron.
That's right. You brought up the old Tron wounds, and I had to go somewhere and sulk for a while.
Yeah. And now we're just on it again. So, yes, indeed. Thank you. All right. Well, yes, listeners, if you're interested in supporting us, we do have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/purenintendo. If you subscribe, you'll get a physical copy of our bi-monthly magazine. So head on over and check out all the covers that we've got in the previous issues. And until next week, that's a wrap, folks. Game on, everybody. Bye.